This episode of the Beauté Industry Podcast was brought to you by our Beauty Business Blueprint, the ultimate business checklist for the professional beauty industry. Get your free copy over at www.beautéindustry.com/beauty-business-blueprint. Hello and welcome to the Beauté Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauté Industry, Tamara Shaw. Here we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauté Industry. Today's guest is Kate Taylor from Injex Clinics. Kate came to my call out in our Facebook group where I mentioned a few podcast guests had cancelled and I was searching for a story to share for you all. While Kate didn't think she had much of a story to share, she told me about her sister being fired for just mentioning that she wanted a clinic of her own one day, how their current business burnt down to the ground and reopened in just 48 hours, and to top it all off, their incredible awards, which they continue to win, not only in the beauty industry, but also for overall status, which is very much a story worth sharing in my eyes. Kate and her sister Emma run a 9-room advanced skin and injectable clinic with a team of 19, and I'm so keen to share with you today just how they do that in today's conversation. From Injex Clinics, today we welcome Kate Taylor. Thank you so much for spending your Wednesday afternoon recording with me. I so appreciate my little SOS call out last night, and here we are recording 24 hours later.
There's nothing I'd prefer to be doing.
Oh, you're so sweet. You mentioned, you know, quite a story in our Facebook group, and you've got quite a pathway behind you in terms of your experience. I'd love to start at the beginning for you. When and where did your career begin in this industry?
So it actually started back in 2006, and at the time, really taking off, but there weren't a lot of job opportunities. So I did get a job somewhere, and after 2 weeks she hadn't paid me, and then she stopped calling me and blocked my number. So that was my entry into the industry.
Wow.
But from there, I just went on to do other things, but my passion for the beauty industry and skin still remained quite strong over those years.
Amazing. It's really crazy to me how many chats I'm having on this podcast that I'm hearing of employers in the beauty industry just do such naughty things. I'm like, what yeah. are you doing? This yeah. is why we have a recruitment problem in our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think everybody probably knows somebody or is somebody that has had some sort of issue with the employment area of beauty. So, yeah, it's definitely something that needs a bit of tidying up, I think.
Yeah. And so what was your next step after that awful experience?
Well, I went on to do some other things in my other sort of passion area, which is still help for a company called Disability Services Queensland. It's a government organization. And from there, they saw something in me, and I quickly climbed the corporate ladder there, and was managed quite large teams. But then I fell pregnant with my first little bubba. And then shortly after had a second bubba, and that's kind of where Injex kicked off.
Amazing. And so tell me that part of the story where your sister gets fired for mentioning that she wants to open her own space.
So, I mean, she was super new, not super new to the industry, but she had no background in business, and she just thought, this is where I want to be, and I would love to own my own clinic one day. And she was having a chat with a colleague at the clinic that she worked at, and the owner overheard and fired her on the spot. So that's where Injects really kicked off. She called and told me the story in a bit of a panic. And as I was on maternity leave, I said that I was happy to help. So she started working from a local salon and created a Facebook page, an Instagram page, a website, and really just got stuck into that and making her bookings and chatting to people when they called. So, yeah.
You know, when I read that in the Facebook group, I was like, this is insane. Like, yeah. It really is insane. And I want to talk about this a little bit because a lot of therapists do have the dream of being the business owner. Yeah. But when business owners are traveling around doing absolutely awful things like that and firing people on the spot because they mention that they want to have a business, not even that they have a business, but just the fact that they want to have a business, it's no wonder to me that therapists are walking around fearful, you know, and scared for their jobs.
Yeah.
In your opinion, you've got quite a big team. What should we be doing to support our team's dreams?
Well, look, I always think about what Richard Branson said, you know, train your staff so well that they can leave, treat them so well that they don't want to. Not really a mission statement that I had in mind. It was more of a realization after realizing that we had such a super low staff turnover. And I just think you can sit there and treat your staff like rubbish and they'll be guaranteed to walk away, or you can train them as best as you can and they can still walk away. But if they've got that respect for you, they're going to continue to refer clients that aren't suitable for them to you. So I think building these good relationships with staff, whether they want to stay or not, is always going to be beneficial for business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess just stop operating from, you know, a place of fear. Everybody's so fearful that, you know, either the staff or, you know, the team is going to leave or take the clients or take product or whatever that looks like. And I guess if we're treating our team and our people in our space who we're supposed to love and trust in one certain way and then turning around and treating them another, it's just crazy to me that this is actually happening in our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you've got to treat your team like they're an asset, because they are. They represent your business, so you've got to make them happy, and they will take care of the rest.
Yeah. And so talk to me then, you're at home on maternity leave, you're managing your sister's appointment book because now she's left the business, you've created the Facebook and the Instagram, you've got the website, and you're organizing all of her marketing. And so within 9 months, you expand the books and open your own clinic, which is Injects Clinic.
Yep.
Can you pinpoint what it was that actually got bums on beds? Like, what were you doing during this time that made the biggest difference to the business?
I would have to say marketing. And I guess that's the advantage of having one person that was working in the business and one person that was working on the business. And I know that a lot of people don't have, you know, ability or that time, but I think it's really important working in the business that you need to be working on the business as well. I was doing a lot of things that weren't ideal, such as, you know, answering messages at 10 o'clock at night and replying to emails at 4 a.m. while I was breastfeeding. But I think those are the kinds of things that sort of got people talking, because they would send an email, you know, in the middle of the night, and then they'd wake up in the morning and they'd have a response. So I think when response to people, they're going to be more likely to book in. If people have got to wait days for you to get back to them, they're going to go somewhere else. So I think that was really integral to building a client base, as well as engaging with people and engaging with them more than you have to. So instead of, you know, quick answers, give them a bit of depth, give them a bit of background, give them some extra information that they may not have known that they're going to remember you for.
Yeah, and I guess it's quick, you know, instant gratification these days, isn't it? If I want Absolutely. A burger, I jump on Uber Eats and I'm eating it in 15 minutes. You know, exactly. If I want a dress, I go online, it's here tomorrow. And when you've got those kind of marketing platforms, you've got all your systems, they're organized, they're working, yep. It's seamless for your client to jump online and make a booking. Like
yeah.
The number of times I have shut down a web page because I had to call somebody or it was too hard. I had to make, you know, login details and verification and things like that. Yep. And I've just shut it down and tried to go somewhere else because yeah. It wasn't instant and it wasn't easy. And then too, you're adding on an extra layer of that customer service. It's building relationships with clients. It's not just having yeah. a bot who, you know, sends auto replies and it sounds like a computer, like there yeah. is a person at the end of the line, which I think people really appreciate these days.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely an advantage, but, you know, again, it's for people. But I think if you can implement just one, you know, extra touch point for people that makes the process a little easier for them, then, you know, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And so you mentioned to me offline that just 6 months into opening your business, you had a team of 5, which mm-hmm. is almost unheard of in our industry to grow that fast.
Yeah.
From being a therapist yourself by trade and having your sister who was treating, how did you guys learn to lead a team in such a short space of time?
Well, as I said, I'd previously worked in management roles and I'd always had kind of a natural ability to lead. So I think those two things really worked well. But my sister and I were complete opposites. So that really works well as well, because she's kind of more the creative side, whereas I'm more the business side. So she works with clients and I work in the business. So yeah, I think just having that background in management and that sort of natural ability, I guess, really helped. But I'm still learning. It's you know, we're almost 5 years in and I'm still every day, you know, learning things about how to manage a team.
I think if I worked with my sister, one of us would be dead in 24 hours. How do you yeah. do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We hear that all the time, but but we honestly, we're so different. Like if she tried to do anything in the business, it would be terrible. And if I tried to do anything with what she does with clients, it would be terrible. So we kind of just stay out of each other's business and it works really, really well.
And I guess then referring to some of the challenges then you've faced, what would be some of those that you just, you know, you get there and you think, oh my goodness, this is the biggest challenge that we could probably face at this time?
Well, I mean, everybody in the industry faces the same kind of things. And there's information and resource all over the internet for things like no shows and low spend and low bookings and things like that. The biggest thing, obviously, for us that we've faced is when we burnt down in 2017. It was a pretty terrible year. We had a string of really, really bad events that kept just sort of knocking us down. But that was the big one.
Wow. And so what did you do? I mean, did you get a call? Did some kind of alarm go off? Like, how did you know? What did that moment look like?
So I actually got a text from my cousin at 6:30 in the morning with a photo of the clinic burnt down, and it said, "I'm so sorry, what happened?" And in my life experienced what I experienced. It was like I was looking and I knew what it was, but it wasn't registering. Like my brain was just going, no, it's Photoshop. No, it's like, I couldn't register despite what had happened in that moment. So yeah, that's how I found out.
Oh, you're giving me heart flutters just hearing it. And so yeah. What's your first move once you get that text message?
We'll throw on some pants and drive down there because I was still in my pajamas. So I just drove down. It was kind of sprinkling, raining at the time. And I parked, and there was obviously the fire brigade and police were there, and I sat it, just stared at it for a while, got out, spoke to them. They said, you know, I'm so sorry, but your entire building is gone and everything in it. So then I got back in my car. I sat there. I called my two best friends who were, at the time, they actually both worked with us. And one still does. And the other one's still my best friend. So that's good. and I said, bring paper, coffee and food, get down here. And they came down, and we sat in the car, and I just started rattling things off, items that were gone, people we needed to call, things we needed to do. And from there we sort of formulated a plan of next moves and prioritizing what needed to be done.
Wow, E, that is so, so crazy to hear, but also I love the tenacity. You know, that would have definitely been for some people a too hard basket. I'm going to quit here. But the fact that you guys got everyone, got the coffee, got the adrenals going, and just sat there and brainstormed is like another level of superhuman.
I don't think I could do it again, to be honest.
I don't blame you.
2 years ago, but I'm still tired from it. I didn't see any other option, really. That was all I could think. I just thought, we've got to get this back as quickly as possible.
And how did you do that?
So my first, after we formulated our plan, the first thing, the biggest priority was getting another space. And so I put the word out, heaps of friends and family all over Facebook said the same thing, that we were looking for a medical space, which was quite hard to come by, obviously. They're not just floating around everywhere. But 7 o'clock that night, I got a phone call, and my phone had been going off all day. And I answered, and I thought it was just another person calling to say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But it wasn't. It was a friend of mine. She knows a pharmacist that's contacted her, that's seen the story on her page, and they had a four-room doctor's surgery vacant, and it happened to be literally 100 metres. Give us. So it was all guns blazing, engines going. It was just absolute pandemonium from there on out. because that's when it really kicked up a gear, because I was like, right, we've got a space, we've got to get this like as going as quickly as possible. And the next day, people were flying absolutely everywhere. Our entire staff were down at this new clinic and being directed places. We had suppliers packing things into their own car and bringing it down because they couldn't get couriers fast enough. And we burnt down on the Monday, on the Queen's birthday, public holiday. So it was very tough to get anything done on that day.
Wow.
And we were trading by 10 a.m. on the Wednesday.
That is insane.
It was actually crazy. I'm not sure how we pulled it off, but we did.
Oh, my goodness. I'm tired and rejuvenated all at the same time just hearing it.
It was a crazy time.
And so you also mentioned to me that in amongst all of that, you know, you've had staff theft in the business and you've also had some currency issues. I mean, how do you rebuild your trust not only within your team after people are, you know, essentially stealing from you, mm-hmm. but then also in the community because somebody around has then done that to the business?
Yeah. Look, you've just at the end of the day, because the business grows so quickly, we didn't have the right things in place to make sure that people weren't stealing. So it made it very, very easy for people to steal. So basically what we did was we just put into place stock control. That was really it. And so it should have been done. It's half our fault for leaving ourselves. So the fraud was a different thing altogether, because it was actually a chargeback. So basically somebody had come in, paid with their own credit card 5 months later or 6 months later, had contacted their bank and said, I've never been here. And what made that more believable was this person lived in Melbourne. So for the bank, they were like, you know, why would you be up all the way in Queensland, in this little kind of almost rural town, having this treatment. So, so that was a bit of fun. The bank automatically took the money out of our account and gave it back to her. So then we had to contact the police, and obviously there was an investigation, and we got the money back that way.
Incredible. It's funny that the bank rather would just automatically believe that person and transfer it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. We thought so too. Like we said to them, we've got, part of our process is we have to take photos of every client. It's just sort of part of the legislation for our industry. And they were like, no, don't care. It's we've got the receipt that you've sent, and it's not her signature. So it's one of those. No. I think she probably hadn't signed the back of her card and just signed away, because it was signed for some reason. I can't remember why. It was a while ago. I think it was before the signatures
went out. And what have been some of the highlights that you've experienced in business that have really kind of stuck out to you thus far?
Probably the awards that we've won. They're definitely the biggest highs. So we entered the Redlands Business and Retail Awards in 2018. And we won Best Beauty Business category, and my sister also won Young Entrepreneur of the Year.
Wow.
And then this year we entered again, and we again won 2019 Best Beauty Business of the Year, and they have two top awards on the night, and the top one we won as well, which was 2019 Retailer of the Year. So to take that one out was absolutely incredible for us. We weren't even expecting the beauty business one, because there's so many amazing clinics and spas and salons around us that had entered, and we take so much inspiration from other businesses around the area. They're just all such a high level. So to win that prize was amazing, to win that award.
Yeah, and I guess that all comes down to the standards and the customer service that you've been talking about as a theme, this whole kind of conversation. Yeah. What do you think, I'm wondering, is the difference between an average treatment, which there are loads of them out there in our industry, and an exceptional treatment?
I can't remember who said it. I think it's Maya someone, but she said, now I've forgotten the quote, it's not what you say, it's how you make someone feel.
Yes, Maya Angelou.
Yes, there we go. So, you know, it can be not just the knowledge that you share, but little things like, you know, using a high quality business card, doing little extras, head massages, dimming the lights, lighting a candle, doing some sound therapy, all these little things that just really turn that treatment up. They're not necessarily physically beneficial, like if you're doing a facial and you're doing sound therapy, you know, it's not going to help the skin any, but it's going to make that person feel like they're having something a little bit more luxe, and they're really being taken care of.
So your new space has 9 treatment rooms, and you've got a team of 19, which is just such a big group of ladies.
Yes.
How do you manage the flow between the clients and your team? And I guess this all comes back to that service aspect, so that your rooms don't get double booked and your space looks calm and collected from the outside, even though it might be buzzing and crazy from the inside.
Look, we wanted to provide and give a space that was quite large. We lived in an open plan house when we were children, so we were always used to that feeling of openness. So we actually have quite a large waiting area, and then with the 9 rooms, it's split down 2 hallways, so there's actually 3 kind of sets of treatment rooms. So I think that's probably how we stay uncluttered. But we also have a big staff room as well, where if there are too many people out the front, they can go and relax out the back, and we've got couches and all kinds of things. So, yeah, I think that's literally, I can just put that down to space and space alone.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes when it is, you know, there's a really busy clinic and everybody's running around, they look like little ants just set on fire.
Yes.
Sometimes for the client, it's actually just nice to have a couch. It makes such a difference rather than just a plastic chair at the front of the reception where the phones are ringing. So I love
that. Yeah, absolutely. And we've got 3 couches in the waiting room, and then 1 in the staff room for the staff as well, because they need a squishy seat every now and then too.
So, Kate, you have been through it all. I'm already hearing and imagining. I'm wondering if you have any advice for people who are currently, you know, either struggling or in business, not knowing where to turn, or maybe they work with their family. Like, do you have any points of advice that you can give them?
Oh, Whenever anybody asks me for one piece of business advice, it's always to keep learning. So whether that's seeking education on business management or marketing or drilling down on a particular niche within the beauty industry or expanding your knowledge of the beauty industry, that's always going to be my recommendation, is just keep learning, keep doing better, look for businesses, see what they're doing, take inspiration. And it doesn't have to be beauty businesses. I honestly got some really good ideas from a roofing company the other day. So just everywhere you try and see what you like about that particular business and how you can incorporate that into your business.
Incredible advice, Kate. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing your pearls of wisdom. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. I've had a great time.
What a special story of resilience, tenacity, and friendship Kate and her sister Emma have together. I especially have taken away the Maya Angelou quote of, "It's not what you say to somebody, but rather how you make them feel," which is such a special sentiment I think we all need a daily reminder of, especially in our industry. If you have loved today's conversation with Kate, leave us a little review in the podcast app you're listening on, or even a comment or DM on our social media pages at Beauté Industry, and tell us about what you loved the most about Kate's story today and what she has shared with us. You'll find me working and hanging around across the gram and book at Tamara Shaw Reid, should you wish to nominate yourself and tell your story, or even somebody else who you may know of or want to hear of. So please come and let me know, and I'll do my best to sit down with them and have a conversation for you. Have the most amazing week. Thank you times 1 million trillion for listening, sharing, and supporting. As you know, this is an independent podcast channel, so your listens mean the absolute world to me. Until next time, stay connected.